Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Caplin Point Laboratories Limited H1 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishikesh from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening to all the participants present on the call. Hope everyone is in good health, and I wish Happy Diwali to you all. On behalf of Caplin Point, today we have with us Mr. C.C. Paarthipan, Chairman; Mr. Vivek Partheeban, Chief Operating Officer; Dr. Sridhar Ganesan, Managing Director; Mr. Muralidharan, CFO; and Mr. Satyanarayanan, Deputy CFO. I would like to thank you and pass over the call. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rishikesh and Rohit. Hello and good evening to everyone. Welcome to our earnings call to discuss the results of Q2 and H1 FY2024. Please note that a copy of all our disclosures is available on the investor section of our website as well as on the stock exchanges. Please note that anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. The conference call is being recorded, and the transcript along with the audio of the same will be made available on the company's website as well as the exchanges. Do note that the audio of this conference call is copyright material of Caplin Point and cannot be copied, rebroadcast, or attributed in press or media without specific written consent of the company. Now, I would like to hand over the floor to our Chairman for his opening remarks.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to you all to our earnings call. As you know well, today's sustainable business is all about maximizing the revenue and profit, minimizing the cost and risk. You are aware that our profit does not sit in the books but in the form of cash and cash equivalents, which again is equivalent to our H1 sales. Our way of reducing the cost is to follow our asset-light model in the form of outsourcing from India and China for products that are pure vanilla generics. Here, the overhead is also very, very low. When coming to risk, it's true that we should not attempt anything such as blind risk while deploying our funds. But again, it is the physical risk that made us to notice the unnoticed in the smaller countries of Latin America. And you know the outcome is our benchmarking cash flows and profits. The three reasons for our increase in Q2 EBITDA and PAT are as follows: A, oncology sales outsourced; B, softgel sales increase; C, reasonable increase in the revenue of Caplin Steriles. Now, let us look at the growth drivers for the next 3 years. First, the financial year 2023-24, outsourcing of onco business will continue to contribute our revenue and profits. D, CSL Line 5, which is a new line which increased capacity. C, the new registration of softgels will also contribute to the top and bottom line of our current financial year. We are sure of maintaining current metrics such as EBITDA and PAT in financial year 2023-24. Coming to financial year 2024 and 2025, again, CSL Line 5 and Line 6 will contribute to our growth, which COO will explain in detail. Number two, increased ANDAs. Number three, replacement of Line 1 with a high-speed Centagon line. Number four, completion of onco-OSG, such as tablet and capsule, will also increase the revenue as we can guarantee the deliveries by handling effective supply chain challenges. Now, number three, financial year 2025-26, completion of onco injectables in addition to OSG. two expanded OSD facilities, OSD general facility for the new markets. Number three, new and larger geographies of various countries such as Mexico and others, where the increase in registration will also contribute to our growth. Number four, increased revenue from Caplin Steriles. Hence, let me assure you that all our expansions, such as API in Vizag, Onco facility in Kakkalur, Tiruvallur, and the new OSD general facility in Gummidipundi and Line 6 in CSL will be completed between 12-18 months without fail. Further, our conceptual framework of catering to the bottom of the pyramid has been ensuring the bottom line enabler for growth. Our goods next to the customer in the warehouse has created a new ecosystem of preventing the supply chain challenges. Hence, the customer next to our warehouses buy quality products at affordable price. Further, you are aware that we don't have any intermediaries, which really creates actually cash flow issues and price erosions. Here, since we don't have any intermediaries, that helps to increase the company's product profits and also the price, the best price, which we call it as affordable price to the customer. Let me also highlight the noteworthy new initiative of Caplin Point stall in CPHI Barcelona and the benefits of it. Although CPHI is a platform for all small and big companies, there are very few companies of our size who will have all the entire range of products in addition to various R&Ds and CRO. This has opened up various possibilities of entering into new markets which we have not visited before. Further, we also have opportunities to import biosimilars and insulin in bulk and do the fill finish and sell locally and export after completing the phase III clinical trials, for which we have our own CRO that is approved by U.S. FDA. This fill and finish business was done by many big companies in the initial stages, and later they went into their own manufacturing. It's also time for us to understand how many of our people will become the perfect foil in many ways for the company. Hence, we conduct stay interviews with our shop floor people in CSL to maintain the discipline, which alone will eliminate the deviations. We also have created a kind learning environment where the rules are fixed, players are known, feedback is timely and accurate. Patterns and relationships are predictable to ensure integrity, quality, safety, and productivity in our factory. Finally, a quote before I finish. The ordinary gives the world its existence. The extraordinary gives its value. And the value comes from grit, gut, gumption, and glory. Caplin is sure to achieve the glory and contribute the best to all our stakeholders. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairman. I would like to give a little insight into specifically Caplin Steriles. But before that, our Chairman always talks about identifying patterns, whether it is in work or in personal life. When you identify patterns, it so happens that patterns tend to repeat themselves. So as long as you're able to identify them, they can become measurable, potentially manageable also. So as a company, earlier we were known as a company that was able to convert the top line into the bottom line every 6 years. In fact, I believe we have repeated that twice. So sticking to something similar has come up recently, which is basically the Q2 sales and profits of this current quarter is higher than the full year revenue and profits of 2016-17, which is 6-7 years ago. And a similar pattern also has sort of emerged from Caplin Steriles, where the first half sales of Caplin Steriles this year is greater than a full year sales of the entity just 2 years ago. Consistency has always been key to our operations, and we are happy to present another set of consistent numbers this quarter. When it comes to Caplin Steriles, the important news is that we have already established our front-end subsidiary in the U.S., in New Jersey. It's called Caplin Steriles USA Incorporated. Again, speaking to patterns, what we have done over a long period of time in Latin America was when we started, we were catering predominantly to the smaller and mid-sized warehouses over there. But over a period of time, what has really strengthened our company's stickiness and also bottom line strengthening is our move towards supplying directly to retail. So if you sort of draw a parallel, our Caplin Steriles business has been 100% B2B. Now with this front end, we will be starting our potential B2C as well, because we'll be catering directly to the buyers. So obviously what we did over a period of time in LATAM was to make sure that this balance was very finely articulated so that we're not disturbing the existing business as well while catering to the next stream of revenue. So that's what we are going to be trying to do in Caplin Steriles USA as well. We are applying for all 50 states licenses at this point, and in the next 6 to 9 months, I think we can start to look at some sort of revenue using Caplin Steriles' own label. Year two is likely to be more meaningful rather than year one, but we will obviously keep you updated as and when things progress. The next point is on CapEx. As Chairman was explaining, our phase two of Caplin Steriles' CapEx is completed. And line 5, which is the Bosch or Pentagon as they're called right now, line is already running commercial batches over the last couple of weeks. In fact, this machine runs at a speed which is more than double of the existing lines. In fact, it is higher than both the lines combined together. You know? So soon enough, we will also be replacing line 1, which is a legacy line in our facility, with another Bosch line, thereby more than doubling our existing capacity. Within the same phase two, we also have a pre-filled syringe line for which qualifications are ongoing right now, and we'll be in a position to complete that before end of this financial year. When it comes to approvals and revenues, we are expecting another 2 to 3 ophthalmic product approvals in the next 3 to 5 months, which should boost our bottom line for Caplin Steriles, because obviously that being line 3, the expenses of line 3 is already factored into our current operational expenses. So we expect revenue on bottom line to be strengthened as and when these approvals come through in the coming quarters. Our order book continues to remain healthy, continues to grow. We just need to pick and choose what makes maximum sense for the company in terms of the right product mix. In terms of approvals, we have 24 approvals so far from the entity, of which 18 belongs to Caplin's name. Another 13 are under review with FDA at this point, of which, again, 11 are in Caplin Steriles' name. This comprises of around 6 ophthalmic products, 4 premixed bags, which is a niche area without too much competition, and 3 injectable products, of which 1 is a complex emulsion. In the next 6 months, we will also be filing a good range of niche differentiated products for which exhibit batches, etc., are all completed, and they're all waiting for dossier compilation. This mix includes injectable emulsions, injectable suspension, ophthalmic emulsion, and also injections in plastic vials, which is another niche segment without too much competition. So overall, the pipeline remains robust. We will be filing another 20-odd products in the next 2 to 2.5 years. Going forward, we'll be developing and filing products based on global sales and not just U.S. And this includes evergreen products such as propofol, enoxaparin, et cetera, which are all you know, well-received in most countries around the world. And we have our own API developed for these. And once our API plant goes on stream, this will be one of the first few products that we will be looking at filing. We obviously have a very sharp focus towards the larger markets of Latin America, such as Mexico and Brazil, and we'll be targeting these countries for product filings. And we've already had several products filed in Mexico. So this brings me to an interesting concept which Chairman also touched upon, which is CPHI, the fair that we all attended just a few weeks ago This is a global fair, very well renowned, and happens in Europe once a year. We created a very nice looking stall over there. It was very well received. In fact, it brought in almost 1,000 new contacts, and many of them in geographies where we are not present. How we look at it is, even if 1% of these convert into business, that will be very good additional streams of revenue for the company. Of particular interest in these are countries like Brazil, where we do not have a presence yet, and also MENA region, where large markets such as Saudi represent high potential for our company, especially as an FDA approved plant, which enables us to fast track some of our dossiers there. I believe, from whatever information that we've received, our own pipeline for Saudi itself could be worth as much as $80 million. And all in all, I believe, it is going to be a very crucial and exciting next few years for Caplin Point and Caplin Steriles, with many of these new initiatives that we are embarking on. Most important of all is to ensure that we are maintaining adequate fiscal discipline, stay debt-free, focus on our cash flow, bottom line and top line, in that particular order, in all of our areas of expansion. I would like to just hand over the floor to our CFO for a brief highlight of the figures before we open up the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vivek. Good evening to one and all who have taken time off to participate in this investors call. Good evening once again. Wishing you all happy and safe Diwali in advance. As far as the financials are concerned, it has been a very good quarter, not only very good quarter, very good H1, I would say. And all the parameters we have had much better than the last year corresponding period. Gross margins from 54.3% to 57.4%. And EBITDA 32.4% to 33.4%. EBIT 29.3% to 32.6%. And PAT 24.2% to 26.3%. Our chairman had already explained the reasons for the increase in the contribution margins on account of niche products. There are two kinds of niche products. As you mentioned, SoftChain Line 2 has been operational, and then there are value-added products. And we have got some good orders from oncology products, which has also added much value, both in terms of top line and the bottom line. And one more, apart from what we have explained in the press release, apart from getting the 2016-17 turnover and PAT in one quarter, that is H2, Q2, we have also realized that we have, without understanding or realizing, we have achieved the entire year 2020 revenue and PAT in H1 of 2023-24. That is 863 crores was our revenue for the entire year FY20, and 215 crores was the PAT for the entire year 2015, whereas we standard 838, which is very close to FY20 in terms of revenue, and in terms of profits, we have already surpassed. We are at 219 as against 215. So as chairman put, we are hopeful of continuing the trend. And only one caveat, that the 51.4%, I think, may not be sustainable in the long run. We will always hope to achieve anywhere between 55 and 56% and PAT of about 24 to 25%. That will be a realistic estimate or target that we would set ourselves, and we'll always work towards, under the guidance of the chairman and the management team, to surpass the target what we have set to ourselves. And as per our line of thinking, with the inventory closer to the customer, our inventories have gone up, and which may temporarily result in the cash flow from operations taking a dip, but that doesn't matter, that the year end would be the same. We have about 95 crores of inventory in transit to our various subsidiaries, which should get converted into sales in the Q4. So these are conscious decisions, and then receivables also are slightly higher due to two reasons. CSL has been put as surpassed the entire year revenue in the H1 of current year, and the payment will get realized in the month of November and December. For the information of the audience present, we have already received about 110 crores in terms of collections in the month of October and till date in Q3. So though the receivable date has slightly gone up from 97 to 100 days, 103 days to be precise,
So there is no cause for concern. There are no bad debts or unrealizable amounts from customers. Same is the case with our inventory, where there are no expired goods or obsolete stock which we carry, barring very minuscule percentage of our entire inventory. And the results are there for you to see, and then I leave it there, and then if there are any questions specific on the financials, we would like to take them and address them. Over to you, Mr. Jay.
Thank you, sir. We can open up the floor for questions now, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Anika Mittal from Nvest Analytics Advisory LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Good evening, sir. Congrats for a good set of numbers. Like in your commentary, you mentioned the inventory has gone up and trade receivables are also high. Can you please repeat the reason for these two things?
Yeah. The inventory, whenever the inventory is high, actually, in a model that we have, this is an opportunity to increase the cash flow and sales. The reason is, the inventory is not lying in the head office. Most of the inventory lies next to the customer in the warehouse, and the rest of it, we are in transit. The amount of inventory which is there in the head office is very, very minimal. So rise in inventory doesn't cause any issue actually to us. Number two, what is that you asked?
Trade receivables.
Sorry?
Trade
receivables. Again, yeah. See, the coming to receivables and inventory, our bad debts and inventory loss are very, very minimal, because any customer who buys our product, he always comes back because of our range, volume, variety and novelty. For example, we have registered 550-560 products in 6-7 countries of Central America and Caribbean. So when the customer has to come back to you, he will definitely pay you, otherwise he will not get actually the goods which he has to sell on a day-to-day basis. That's the advantage of having warehouse next to the customer. That's the reason in course of my actually speech, I also told you there is no intermediaries in our business. We are the manufacturer, importer also in many areas, we are the wholesalers. Yeah. Is it okay?
Going forward, trade receivables will remain at this level, or we will further come back to the normal one?
No, we will continue to actually have the same metrics.
So, just one point. I think industry average is anywhere between 90-120 days. So I think we are still in very good shape, and as you would have seen, our increase in cash flows over the last couple of years is testament to the fact that we have a very strong hold on this. And as Chairman said, inventory in our position cannot be comparable to another company in the same, because it actually is inventory at our warehouses in Latin America, in other places. So it's not that it's sitting in our factory, right? So obviously this can be liquidated very quickly.
No, that I agree. Actually, I was looking towards CFO divided by EBITDA ratio, kind of. So Caplin has always been maintaining such higher ratio, and this time I think H1 it is somewhere around 42%. So that is why I was asking from the cash flow conversion point of view, like EBITDA, means this ratio will further improve, or how it is going to be? Means, you must have tracking internally also, this ratio is going down, right?
Yeah. We are comfortable in spite of it, actually. The slight dip I would like to tell you also is like this. In two countries, especially in Guatemala, there were some political issues. 10 to 15 days, there was nothing actually happening. However, eventually the sales was increased to 3.8 million, which we normally do, you know, in every month. And slightly there is a dip in collection, which you would see actually an increase in this month. Number two, in Dominican Republic, there is actually an issue between Dominican Republic and Haiti. However, the sales has increased. The dip also is not actually very broad. It's very, very narrow. So this type of issues, it happens to every company. the cash flow, if it is not actually that good, you would not be in a position to have 825 crore as cash and cash equivalents. I hope you'd agree with me.
Right, sir. And sir, there has been a delay in our expansion of injectables in oncology, like from Q4 24 earlier to now it is Q2 25. So similarly, there is a quarter delay in oncology API as well. So is there any specific reason for the delay?
Oncology tablet and capsule, I'm sure we'll be able to actually start the commercial production in the next 6 months. Although I told you in general, everything will be completed in 12 to 18 months. That one is applicable for a factory as a whole, because if you look at oncology, there is tablet, capsule, injectable, and API. And the API in Vizag will also be completed in 6 to 8 months or maximum 9 months. The rest of it, you know, like OSG in general, and in addition to onco OSG, our injectables, onco injectables and all, the machinery is on the way. That will take little time. See, anything which is going to actually cost a little delay will not have any impact actually on our fundamentals.
Correct. And in addition to that, just one more point is, especially on oncology, there are 2 points here. Number one is, we are not denying the company any opportunity to create this, because we are currently using outsourced manufacturers for some of these oncology orders that we are servicing. Number two is, the API piece of it being delayed doesn't really impact us too much at this point, because there is API available from outside. So it's still status quo. When our own API comes in, our cost control and our compliance and everything get even better. It doesn't, it's not the other way around.
That's good, sir. And can you give a number like where we will end in FY24 in terms of consolidated revenues, like line 5 and line 6 will also come in Q3 and Q4. So what is the expected internal number that we are targeting for FY24?
It's better not to actually quote the numbers. You know, it's a public company. It's better to underpromise and overachieve. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And all the best, sir.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you. Reminder. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Rishi. Please go ahead.
Hi. Regarding your aspirations for new markets of Brazil and Mexico, so how has been the progress for those markets, and what set of portfolio or product portfolio would be taking there? Like the US, you will be leveraging the US injectable pipeline for the Central American portfolio. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I will tell you about the rest of the world and South America. Coming to US, I will ask the COO to explain everything. See, new markets, as we told you before, the bigger geographies involves a long time for registration. However, there are emergency orders, which of course, you know, we also cater to, and we have been exporting that way. And our registrations in Chile has reached to a level of 100 plus, and shortly we are going to open a warehouse there. And coming to Mexico, there are two ways to do business here. One is private market, other one is actually the institutional sales, the tender business. Most of the people who do tender business, in fact, they come and meet us actually, our people in CPHI. In fact, my elder son is in Mexico and he is meeting all those people. The advantage of going through actually this type of people for tender business is they have the extraordinary contacts actually in that country. And moreover, being a foreigner, especially in tenders, we don't want to go directly into that area, because there are certain issues which may affect actually people personally. So coming to this business, especially in South America, in various countries we are doing the registrations. In addition to the registration, the one which really helps us is the expansion of projects in the form of sargel capsule. And next year we are planning to go for actually a PFS, which are double barrel syringes. These are the things which will also increase our revenue. The registrations, yes, in the newer geographies, it takes time, unlike actually ROW market. Now, I will ask COO to explain about the US.
Yeah. So your second question was around the portfolio, and I will just explain. So obviously, there are three streams that we are targeting. Number one is, like you said, the CSR, the Caplin Steriles portfolio itself. I think whichever product that makes sense for Mexico and Brazil, we will focus on that. In fact, several files have already been submitted, and now that INVIMA approval also has come through for Caplin Steriles, we'll be filing more wherever that dossiers are ready. Number two is, there is something else that we realize, which is, you know, there are many EU GMP and other high regulatory bodies approved facilities in India that don't really have any sort of a presence in Latin America, especially Mexico. So we identified two or three of these companies, in fact, two from India and one from China as well, who have been giving us their dossiers to file in Caplin's name. And in due course of time, you know, when some of these products get approved, we will start outsourcing, which is very similar to what we did in some of the smaller markets of Latin America. And finally, our own OSD facility, hopefully, which will come through in the next 12-18 months, like Chairman said, will also be used to cater to this market. So it will be a wide portfolio of injectables, ophthalmics, outsourced manufactured products, and in-house OSD products. So we will be targeting a wide portfolio as explained.
And sir, would we, like, require a front-end sales force on the ground in these markets?
Of course. Yeah, go ahead, Chairman.
Go ahead. Go ahead. No, you please go ahead.
Yeah. So obviously, our mantra has always been, remain close to the customer, right? So in fact, as Chairman was saying, my brother is in Mexico as we speak. He's made, 10-15 visits over the last one year itself. We will be assembling, a very good, field force over there, very similar to what we've done in, other parts of Latin America. Of course, in the earlier stages, we will be, focusing much more on the product registration, because this will obviously take around 9-12 months time in most cases. While we lay the groundwork, we will be meeting all the distributors, the existing, parallel markets, et cetera, that are over there. But yes, we will be, certainly having our own front-end presence over there.
Is it fair to say that these regions will start contributing post FY 2025 or around FY 2025?
In the next 18 months, I think, we can start to see something meaningful. We already have over $1 million business in Mexico from last year itself. But, yeah, if we are looking at some meaningful numbers, I think you can expect it in about 18 months and beyond.
Sure. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Sudhir Shah from Kotak Mahindra Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So my question is to the CFO. I see a bit of cash on the balance sheet in September, and this is basically attributed to the, if I look at the breakup, it is in the form of bank balances. Now, I presume if it is in a current account, it is not earning interest. How do we manage this money? Do we keep money in form of investments? And also in terms of the ROEs. The ROEs and ROCs have been dipping. Probably the reason could be the, you know, it's a good problem to have, to have a company generating cash. But what is our large ticket plans or the big ticket plans of CapEx? Or do you plan to do some buyback at some point of time? Thanks.
Yes, CFO, you may please go ahead. CFO still on the line?
Yeah. Am I audible now?
Yes, yes, yes. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Actually, the current bank and bank balances, they are not in current accounts. Just to confirm, they are in the form of fixed deposits. Fixed deposits were in the accounting standard, which has come with the adoption in India, so cash and cash equivalent of 820 crores is figuring in about four to five places in the balance sheet. It is not in one straight line. And there is no fund which is idle, and it is not yielding even interest. So even the balances in Hong Kong, which was not giving very good returns, now we are, it has started giving a return of 5.56% tax-free. Okay, so pre-tax, it will be equivalent of 8% in India terms. Okay? So that is as far as the deployment of funds is concerned. Secondly, for the ROE and the ROCE, as we have been in the expansion mode for the last few years, which will all bear fruits in the coming years. Just for the information of the audience in the call, we have spent about 459 crores to be precise in the last 3 years in various projects. And another 370 crores is identified as we see today, which is very visible to be spent in the next 12 to 18 months, as our chairman explained. So we are also, as we have told in the past, keeping our ears and eyes open for any opportunities that are available in the market. So it's always better to keep cash, which is yielding 700. If you see our other income, the interest income has gone up substantially. So that means that we have been deploying at more productive assets, and we are not keeping anything idle, I would say for sure. And these are funds kept for CapEx and also for any other opportunity that may come up in our way. So our focus has been cash flow. I can repeat three times, the chairman first primary objective is to have cash flow. So no borrowing.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sachin from Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question and congrats to the entire captain's team for showing such good numbers. I had a few questions. Sir. One was on the U.S. business, the Captain Survive business. So we had guided for 200 crores of revenues for the current financial year, but I think the current momentum is very strong. So what type of numbers now we are looking for the current financial year? And secondly, for the next financial year, if you could give us some type of sense, what type of growth we are looking, and we had also an aspiration to reach $100 million revenue by FY27, if I remember, or 26. So if you could just, you know, also comment a bit on that aspiration of $100 million revenue with Captain Survive.
Yeah, so I think the 200 crores that you're talking about, we already achieved that last year. What we said was we will grow well. Of course, obviously, there is a smaller base. We will obviously be growing well this year. We don't want to put a figure to it, but definitely, you know, above industry average figure is what we will be targeting for Kaplan Sterrels this year. And when it comes to, you know, overall, over the next 3 to 4 years, targeting 2027, an $100 million figure is something of a benchmark for us. We remain confident that we can get to this figure or get very, very close to this figure. And we are putting in all efforts to make sure we get there.
Sure. But in terms of your EBITDA margins and Captain Sterile, what type of upside do we see from the current level? And the 70-30 mix that is there currently between milestone and revenues, how do we see that changing over the next 2-3 years?
Yeah. So when it comes to I'll answer the second question first. So milestone and profit share, I think this is a very healthy mix, because if you see, we're not a company that does a pure play CMO, and we don't do any development for other companies either, you know. So we are a company that develops and tries our own products, and so far has been licensing our products to front-end partners such as Baxter, Fresenius, and all these people. Going forward, I see that tilting a little bit more towards the product revenue, because we'll be having our own front-end, and we stopped doing exclusive deals a few years ago itself, right? So as long as our front-end gets established, we will have lesser and lesser inclination to do licensing deals with others, because we want to be selling all of it by ourselves. This is going to obviously strengthen the bottom line as well, because all of our B2B business that we do right now, there is a profit share to our front-end partner, you know. So obviously I see, you know, without giving any numbers away, that 70-30 will start to tilt much more towards the product revenue and lesser towards the milestone and profit share revenue in the years going forward.
But over a medium term, where it will stabilize? It will be like 80-20, or it will be like more like 90-10 over the next 2-3 years. Where do you see it stabilize?
I would safely assume 80-20 would be a more reasonable figure, at least over the mid-term. Yes.
Sure. And on the EBITDA margins, you know, most of the high quality.
So, yeah, sorry, I didn't answer that. So EBITDA margin, especially for us, you know, you'll have to look at it a little bit differently compared to others, because of the fact that, again, I repeat, we are not a CMO. We develop and file our own products. So our costs, right, when you're talking about GDUFA fees, the filing fees, ANDA fees, facility fees, all of these are significant for a company our size. But as the revenue continues to grow, as the bottom line will get strengthened, and our EBITDA number, if you took away all of our R&D expenses, etc., that we do not capitalize, we expense out, our EBITDA numbers are actually very similar to the parent company's numbers. Right, so this will start to reflect as the revenue catches up a little bit more and our filing starts to go down and we focus a little bit more towards complex products alone. Today we have a lot of simple solution products, so the numbers in terms of number of ANDAs we are filing and all that is higher compared to what we would be doing, let's say, 24 months hence. Right, so a shorter answer to your question is if you remove all of these heavy R&D fees and everything, our filing fees and all that, our numbers are very similar to our parent company's numbers.
Sure. I understand that our accounting is far more conservative, but that's the way I think we have chosen to be. So in that scenario, when do you expect that our reported EBITDA margin should start to run and become, will it take another 2-3 years, or you think that could happen much faster going by the type of traction we are seeing and the optic leverage benefit plus the product benefit that we should get?
Yeah, I would be safe and assume the 2 years hence, right? Because I think this year already we are profitable. In fact, last year also we've turned around the profit despite this heavy expense out. But 2 years hence, I think, would be something for us to look forward to.
Sure. My next question was for the CFO. On this slide number 18, that is mentioned the capex of 600 to 650 crores, where we outlined 6 projects. So if you could qualify, sir, how much of the 600 to 650 crores has already been spent and how much is pending completion?
Yeah. As I just answered the previous the query, as I explained, that 459 crores has been spent since last 3 years. Okay. And as we speak today, 370 crores, we have visibility. Not everything is crystallized. We have visibility about 370 crores, of which about 200-250 crores is crystallized. Another 100, for example, JP Onco, which is set to take some shape. About 50 crores is the plan we have for that. And the OIC general, what Chairman said, will consume about 150 crores over the next 12-18 months. So 370 crores is 650-700 is inclusive of what we have spent and then what we see in the next 18 months. So that's what you would have spent in the last 3 years plus next 18 months.
No, but sir, last 3 years, no. If I go by your slide, it's a little confusing for me. On the slide number 18 of your presentation, you have mentioned that the Kathleen has allocated 600 to 650 crores and you have mentioned 6 projects. So of these 600 to 650 crores, on these 6 projects that we outlined, how much we have spent? Is it 2? Is that 250 is the number that you are mentioning is being spent on these 6 projects?
Sorry, I didn't get you.
Yeah, I will just clarify, Sachin. This is, you know, you need to take into what period of time. So obviously, if you're looking at whatever capex that we started from 2020 itself, this is going to be close to an 800 crore figure, right? So some of this was brownfield. So we took away that brownfield figure out. And then for most of the new initiatives, including phase 2 and phase 3 of capex, right? We've mentioned it as 600 to 650. So a shorter answer to your question is more than half of it has been already spent. And the remaining half will be spent, I would say, over the next 18 months, as Chairman was saying, 18 to 20 months.
Yeah, but as per the presentation, all the projects will get completed by Q3 FY25, which is like 12 months from now.
Yeah, so we want to be conservative when we speak, right? So some of these are very, very close to completion, like the Onco facility is around 3 months away from completion. And there is an opportunity for us to fast-track our OSD facility as well. But again, we want to be a little conservative because some of this requires qualification, timelines and everything, right? So CapEx completion is only one part of it. In pharmaceuticals, you need to qualify all the equipment to start commercialization as well. And some of these areas that require licenses as well to be received. So there is CapEx completion is only one part. And then there will be definitely a six-month period, which will be what will be required for us to ramp up to commercialization, right? So that's how you may need to be looking at it, rather than black and white into what you know, numbers alone has been mentioned over there.
Sure. And what is the type of peak revenue we can achieve once fully utilized, the 600, 650 crores of capex can generate for us?
Yeah, so obviously, okay, go ahead, Chairman, please.
Yeah, can I say a few words on this, please? See, the most important here
is one area which is to know completion of the facility. Second most important area here, especially in the OSD Onco and OSD General, you will have to actually invest on the bioequivalent and bioavailability. It's not the question of money, it's a question of timelines. We have to complete the R&D first, then go for the BE studies. Then the third issue is you will have to file the dossiers. So, especially in the regulated space, it takes long time. Luckily, we have been very successful in the ROW markets, especially in LATAM. So we will start the business to start with in the LATAM market. That alone will give us a very good actually returns. So we are sure of actually continuing the same EBITDA and other things going forward. And exact numbers today is not easy to predict because these markets.
Ballpark estimation, the 600 crores should at least give us 1,000 crores, 1,500, very ballpark number, not a very
specific. Okay, like if you ask me in 5 years from now, you should aim actually at least 4,000 to 5,000 crores. But if you ask me what will happen actually in 24-25, I'm sure you know we are aiming for a sale of actually 2,000 crores or closer to 2,000 crores. That's the only I can tell you now.
Sure. And sir, one question was in some of these new large markets that's been talking of Mexico, Brazil, Chile. Sir, what is your vision for the next 3-4 years there? And how large do you think they can be for Caplin as a company overall?
This market, you know, what I have found, when you are thinking of opening up your own actually company there in the form of a company there or subsidiary company, the number of registrations which you have in the form of like 20-30 doesn't give you actually big volumes. You should reach to a level of say 100 products. If it reached to a level of 100 products in Mexico, it will take at least 2.5 years or maybe 3 years. That time we think of actually like, you know, something extraordinary. It can even go up to 75 million to $100 million also. The reason being, half of the business which is in the form of tender business, we will not directly involve, but we know people who can influence the decision makers and then, you know, sell the products. They also, they are interested in quality products. And they know that we have been selling our products in Central America, which is much closer to Mexico. Guatemala is just 1 hour drive by flight actually to Mexico. And again, cross-border business, although we are not interested in that one, people who live in the borders, they come actually and buy and go also. So most of the people, they are aware of quality of the product also. So once we complete actually, you know, different buckets of products in the form of oncology, then general products, injections, various injections in the form of liquid injections, and then your ophthalmic products, bags, all that put together, I'm sure, you know, we are aiming for something extraordinary. But again, this is what I could say. Say, if you ask me 24-25, yes, we will do 2,000. Again, there is a market in Mexico which takes time. Sometimes it may be sooner, sometimes it may be later, but not actually. It is something which is dynamic. We are sure of doing it. It is a possibility. But the question of timing ranges between 2 and up to 3 years maximum to do the maximum business.
So basically, next 2-3 years, it will be slow and steady. We have to get more products registered. So FY 27 or 28 is when we can see larger contribution from this.
Exactly. That's one way of looking at it. The second way is, you know, Mexico, there are a lot of opportunity to acquire companies. But the meaningful acquisition also will add value to us at the same time. Now, we are focusing more on completion of the projects. We don't want to add one more facility outside the country. And that's why we are not interested to go for anything in the form of acquiring a facility in places like Mexico or Brazil also. We'll complete everything here. Then, you know, we'll have to consolidate our efforts. Whatever the balance between consolidation and expansion also has to be very meaningful. There are opportunities, there are challenges. But at the end of the day, the people really matters also. There are things which can be delegated, as you know well. The promoter creates it and the professional comes to protect it. And today, after COVID, see, the environment, the ecosystem has not been that extraordinary. We have to understand the people well. We have to take care of them very well. Then we will have to wait for that to happen also. We can't be in a position to rush and make things happen. It's not that easy, to be very honest with you.
Sure. Thank you and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Nikhil Jain from Galaxy International. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so this question is related to the US market, the capital steroid. So congratulations on getting the approval for Rocuronium through Lupin, or let's say Lupin is the marketing partner. I just wanted to understand our philosophy of, partnering in the US market, because I understand we are still doing non-exclusive deals. We are also having our own distribution setup, where we are targeting, the most competitive distribution part of the chain, and we are also having our own label, right? So how are we ensuring that there is no conflict in the chain, and the customer is not confused, because the same product should not be offered by multiple entities, right? Captain themselves or Lupin or some other partner or whatever. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So I will answer this in two parts. Number one is, you spoke specifically on Rocuronium Bromide. That was probably because Lupin came out with a press release for that one, right? So now, obviously, these are non-exclusive deals. And Lupin is not the only company that we have licensed the product to. There is one more as well. But at the same time, these are completely non-exclusive on both sides, right? So whenever Caplin decides to enter the market with its own label, we are free to do so. In every one of our agreements that we have signed so far over the last 5 years, we've ensured of this. Now, number two is, again, drawing a parallel to what we are doing in Latin America. We don't want to go to the very large GPOs and distributors and then try and sell our product, because that is a space that's sort of crowded with big boys, right, including the Lupins of the world. What we want to do is, there is a certain amount of market, and depending on who you speak to, it could be anywhere between 20% to 30% that is outside of these very large GPOs and IDNs and stuff, where we can actually sell our product. Even if it's smaller volumes, we can actually sell it for higher margins, and it could become a very sticky business as long as your supply continuity is maintained. Right, so that's what we will be doing, and we will not be competing in the same channels, because we will not be operating in the same channels. Even the kind of people that we recruit in the US, we are very clear to them that we don't want to be going the tried and tested model of going to a GPO, crashing prices, and then entering with our label. That's not what we want to do. And even in Latin America, if you see, we never went to the largest distributor over there and then tried to give them anything exclusively. We went to smaller distributors, we went to smaller wholesalers, we went to retail directly. So we want to sort of try and replicate something similar in the US as well.
Right. But how do you ensure that there is no conflict, right? So because you are trying to cover all the distribution channels, some through partners and some...
No, that's what I'm trying to say. We are, number one is, even if there is a conflict, there is nothing that prevents us from doing anything, even if we choose to do with the GPOs. But having said that, what I was trying to say in my earlier response is that we are not going to be operating in the same channels where some of these larger companies operate, because they typically go through very large GPOs and healthcare networks and stuff. We want to be playing basically in the tier 2 and tier 3 spaces. So by default, there will not be any conflict.
One more thing actually I would like to add here. I hope you would agree with me, in war and business, definitely there will be conflict. We will cross the bridge when we reach there in the form of a conflict resolution. That's the only way out. You can't predict everything actually now itself. I hope you would agree with me that way.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag from Ratna Traya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations on continued execution. I had one bookkeeping question and a larger question. I'll first take the bookkeeping question. If my numbers are correct, we did around 46 crores of sales in the first quarter for steriles and 75 crores of sales for steriles in the second quarter. For both quarters, could you tell us the EBITDA for steriles?
Yeah, CFO can answer this, please.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, hi, good evening. This is Satya Narayan here. The EBITDA for the current quarter, Q2 of 2024, is
10 crores. And for Q1, it was around 2.5 crores. So please look at it in the manner which was explained by Mr. Vivek, that this is after charging off all the R&D expenses and the ANDA registration fees, everything which we expense out immediately on incurrence. Thank you.
Right. First quarter, sorry, sir, I couldn't hear that number. Could you repeat that number again? 2.5 crores, you said.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, understood. And the second question is a little bit broader. Would love to hear the chairman's view on this. Is that we have a bunch of expansion plans going on, right? So we have oncology, API, backward integration, steriles, there's an expansion. In Latin America, we are doing geographic as well as product expansion. In all of these four or five areas, where is it that the team feels there is the most amount of stress or the most amount of sort of delay or the most amount of uncertainty? And where is it that you feel that we are almost close to sort of, we're very close to what we were, conceptually where we are very close to the end?
Yeah, I would like to actually, you know, say a few things. Of course, this will help you to understand where we are today. In general, I hope you would agree with me, what is important, what cannot be cured has to be endured. And endurance is the key. When we have the great, definitely, you know, whatever delay which happens actually, eventually it will be completed. Not that, I don't want to say there is no delay in the form of actually projects. Project overrun or cost overrun is part of any business. But at the end of the day, we have not been borrowing money from any bank. It's all happening from our own actually internal accruals. Second, the biggest challenge that we face, you know, is actually getting the licenses and other issues, sometimes people issues. This, of course, you know, you can't change. You know, we live in a world where, you know, the pedestrian walk on the road and the motorist drive on the pavement with impunity. So these are the individual liberty would come in the form of social anarchy. What we can do to avoid that one. So anything that we do, I would put actually this way, as long as you have the grit and your model is not in the form of borrowed money and borrowed wisdom, we are sure of completing it. When we complete it, yes, it takes time. It takes actually a certain amount of pressure to the promoters of the company. Eventually, when we make it, we will also achieve it. Whatever we believe and consume, we will achieve it.
Understood. Anything in specific amongst these four or five where there is the most amount of stress? Oncology, backward integration, steriles, or the geography?
It's like this actually. I read one this year. I would like to convey that one. So this is a research which happened in 2014, where they have understood poverty runs in generations. The gene poverty has been actually, it incorporates a cognitive issue and the lack of awareness in the genes. Hence, so with the result, it runs into few generations. So anyone who starts his life as an entrepreneur from a small actually beginning, or if he's not part of the business community, see, pressure is bound to be there, but the pressure that we had when we didn't have money is much more than actually the pressure that we have today when we have money in the bank, and that too, the money is not a borrowed money. It is second one, as I told you, borrowed wisdom in the sense of, unless and until you understand something which not many people know, you will not be in a position to do things actually which will be effective. So it is not that, you know, the stress or pressure which is going to break you. It is how you take it. What you make it and how you take it, that really matters. That's what I would like to convey to you.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alicia from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. Most of my questions have been answered. Just two small questions. One, on a sequential basis, that is Q2 on Q1, there is a dip in our LATAM business. If you could just explain what this may be due to.
Sorry. Sorry, I didn't hear properly. Can you please come again?
Sure, sir. I was just trying to understand that if I compare this quarter versus last quarter, which is Q1, there is a dip in our LATAM revenue. It was about 350 crores in Q1, which has now become about 335 crores. Just wanted to understand what caused this dip. Are we seeing any slowdown pressure any logistical issue causing the delay, anything?
No, the logistical, there is not a major issue, but again, you must have seen in the newspapers, the incumbent president and the new president, there are some issues in Guatemala. That, of course, you know, that has come to a grinding halt for about 10 or 12 days or maximum 15 days. But again, people have to buy medicine. They would prefer to buy medicines only when the medicines are next to them in the warehouse. With the result, you know, that 15 days of work actually has compensated. In fact, you know, we have done more business than before. Slight dip in the receivables, but also it's not in the form of actually 50-60% reduction. It is in the form of 10-15%, which will happen actually in the next month. And coming to what you said in the form of quarter one versus quarter two, I would request the CFO to clear the air. Hello?
Yeah, CFO.
Yes. Madam, as the chairman put it, there's a slight dip in the parent company's system. As I said, it will be more than made up in the current quarter. Overall growth is there, and it is more than made up.
Sorry, sir, I couldn't hear you. Your line was not clear. Can I request you to please repeat this answer?
No. Yeah, what I was trying to explain to you is the reason for the dip has already been answered by our chairman, explained by our chairman.
Okay.
And the basic concern is a very, very marginal this thing, and then that will be more than made up in the current quarter.
Yeah, Anisha, just one point I would make in pharmaceuticals, especially when you're doing business in multiple geographies and stuff, I think comparing quarter on quarter is a bit of a misnomer, you know. Year on year is much more. In fact, if you ask us internally, we look at ourselves on a 3 to 5 year basis. So quarter on quarter, you know, there'll be minor dips or increases here and there. But I think, like CFO said, that's much more of a rounding rather than anything else.
No, sir, I absolutely agree with you that it should be YOY, it should be on a more medium-term basis. It's just that for all the newer initiatives that we have been talking about, this seemed kind of strange, and hence I thought of clarifying it.
Sure.
My next question is just, is it right to understand that the next step up in the LATAM business will now only come once some of the CAPEX that we've been speaking about will come on stream, the soft gel, the onco, etc., which should be towards the end of the year, early next year?
Yeah. So obviously, you know, with many of the initiatives that we are taking up right now, there will be a gestation period, right? But there are two ways in which we are tackling it. Number one is, if you look at the oncology space, we are not exactly waiting for our facilities to get ready and then start registration. Then we actually started registering many of our products several quarters ago, which is why over the last almost 6 months or more, you can see that there are several oncology products that we are supplying to emergency tenders. We're actually supplying to private market also in one or two markets and stuff. So we're not denying ourselves an opportunity to fill that gap over there. As and when our facilities come through, this is going to enhance the business, is going to enhance the supply chain. Number two is we're actually, we have a breakup. Of course, not everything can be put down and opened up to public, as the chairman said. Many of this is confidential information, but we've actually been able to grow quite well with the existing market, with the existing products, but a little bit of tweaks to our offerings, such as pharmaceutical soft gel, pre-filled syringes and everything. So it's not that all of the growth will depend only on the new CapEx coming in. That will be augmenting our growth rather than depending entirely on it.
Got it. And just one last bookkeeping question. There is a spike in our other expenses and it's quite sharp sequentially. What would this be with respect to?
CFO can answer this, please.
Are you referring to the current quarter versus sequential or the H1 versus H1, madam?
No, Q2 of this year versus Q1. So 73 crores versus 55 crores.
Correct. So, as we explained, we have filed about more than 3 ANDAs as compared to the last quarter. That each ANDA consumes about 2 crores each.
Understood.
So that's the major reasons for, and the R&D expenses have also gone up. These are the primary reasons for increasing expenses.
Got it. Great. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you, Madam. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. As there are no further queries from the participant, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vivek for the closing remark.
Thank you, everyone, for joining and then taking time off and understanding our company, and your wishes mean a lot to us. Once again, thank you all, and have a very happy Diwali, and we'll be in touch with you. Thank you.
Thank you all, and wish you a very happy Diwali. Thank you. Thank you, once again.
Thank you. On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.